Where was I? I lost track. Now, yes, yes. Oh, yeah, y'all, we've been talking about reigning in life. And because God wants us to reign in life. And so we've been coming out of our foundation passage has been in Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Let's turn there real quickly. Turn there real quickly. I wasn't here last week. Shout out to Pastor Bob for holding it down on last Wednesday. So I want to recap and just review a couple things to make sure we understand this definition of grace because of this passage. Watch this. Y'all know Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Romans is the Magna Carta of the gospel. Paul explains the gospel, the power of the gospel, and he explains that it's righteousness and grace that causes us to reign in life. Let's look at this verse. Look at this. For by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. What's that man's name? Adam. That's right. Because, and what the Bible's saying here is because of Adam's one transgression, his one offense, his sin that he sinned, caused death to reign through him. Death came through him. Sin came through him through that one act, that one transgression, that one sin that he committed, and it caused death to reign. That word reigned right there is basilia. Basilica, it means to reign and have rulership like a king. And that's why all of us experience, have been to funerals. We all will die if Jesus doesn't, if Jesus tarries, right? And we all will have a funeral. We've all been touched by sickness, by lack, by sin, by death. All of humanity is born into sin, not by anything that they've done, but because of one man's transgression, his offense. Can you see how huge that transgression was? The gravity of that, it impacted all humanity, right? But look what it says after that, after the comma. Much more what? Much more than that offense. Much more than the impact of that transgression. Much more than the impact of that transgression on humanity. Much greater than the power of sickness, sin, death on humanity. Much more those who receive, what? Abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. What does that mean, reign in life? Basilica. Have rulership and reign in life like a king, but in life. It's the exact opposite. It's just showing the converse. It's whatever Adam's transgression brought, though Jesus brought much more, and all you have to do to reign in life, reign over sickness, reign over disease, reign over cancer, reign over addiction. Have y'all noticed that sin has a power to it? Have you ever been bound by something? I have, right? And there's a power to it. It's a power that it can grip you and hold on to. And he says, much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign over that addiction, will reign over that bondage, will reign over sin, will reign over it. Sin no longer has dominion over you because of that. Are you with me? And so what the Bible is really saying here, if we're not reigning in life over sickness, reigning in life over poverty, reigning in life over depression, reigning in life over an addiction of any type, over addiction of alcohol, addiction of drugs, addiction of sex, addiction of pornography, there is deliverance and you can reign over that through just receiving those two things. But notice, but the first thing that we talked about for the first 6 weeks of this volume one of this series was the gift of righteousness. Listen to the difference of this. The gift of righteousness, abundance of grace. The gift of righteousness, plural or single? Singular. Abundance of grace, single or plural. So the Bible's showing us here, there's a lot of grace, and we have to receive that grace in abundance. But unless you know what grace is, and we know accurately what it is, and how to receive it, you won't reign in life. And I submit to you that we haven't properly, speaker included, understood receiving this grace, abundance of grace, because we'd be reigning in life. And the definition that we had been given, that I'd learned and that I had given, that's a common definition. What's the common definition that we've learned about grace? Come on. Unearned favor. Isn't that right? Unearned favor. unmerited favor. I submit to you that grace is much more than unearned favor. And that some of the favor is earned. There's something you have to do to get abundance of grace. Or would it said just grace? But you can receive more than someone else. And the Bible gives us instruction about receiving that. So that's why we have to go back and see. If we're not reigning in life, like this says, over those things, over addictions, over broke, over sick, over depression, over challenge, we need to, now watch, the gift of righteousness is huge. We learned about it. We understand that it's the power of the gospel. We talked about it. We see the connection, and we've talked about it for 6 weeks. But it says the gift of righteousness. All we got to do is understand that gift of righteousness. And again, you can't get any more righteous once you receive righteousness. You don't grow in righteousness. The Bible doesn't say grow in righteousness. It does say grow in grace. So, are you with me? So righteousness is something that we all receive. It's a gift of righteousness. Every born again believer gets it. You don't grow in righteousness. You grow in understanding of righteousness. All right, so that's imperative that we understand that. We spend a lot of time covering that, and we'll continue to do that. There are some things that the Bible says that you have to confess your righteousness and know that you're righteous, get established in righteousness, all that. But the Bible says much, 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 much more about grace. And we've got to learn about it, how to. The Bible says that we can multiply grace. The Bible says you can frustrate grace. The Bible says you can grow in grace. Bible says you need to receive an abundance of grace to reign in life. So can y'all see that? Will you admit that we need to learn more about grace? We need to relearn some things, better learn some things, and so that's what we're doing. Amen. So when I was here a couple weeks ago, I put down we'd always learned unmerited favor, and it's not wrong, but it's very incomplete. It's very incomplete. All right. And so, and really, the definition that I came up with here. And I put in number two. And by the way, all my notes are always available online. You can get them right now. You can just go on www.destinygso.org. Go there and get notes. Go to the notes section, and you can pull up these notes right here. And I really do want you to get it, because I won't get all the way through the notes today as I did in the first service. But I want to make sure that you understand this. We got to lay the foundation. That's what we're doing. So what is grace, right? Because Paul said if we receive an abundance of it, here's what grace is. Take a picture of this or write it down. Grace is God's power, strength, and ability to be who you are born to be and to do what you're born to do. Let me add this, that you can't do in your own strength. You'll see that. You'll see that as we go through the scriptures. To do what you were born to do, how do you receive it? Through faith. And then I put a semicolon in here and said, it's unmerited. You can't merit it by works. That's a good way to say it. You can't merit it by works, but you can increase it, multiply it, and grow it, and frustrate it. So that means there is something I can do to affect grace. So when we say the one blanket statement is just unmerited favor, that can leave us, if it's unmerited, that means you get the same grace, you get the same grace, Shaw's get the same grace, all of us get the exact same grace, and there's no way to infect it or increase it or grow it, but that's wrong. Y'all get what I'm saying? So there is something that we have, that we can do to affect grace. Are y'all with me? So we got to learn what those things are and understand it so that we can receive it in abundance. If the Bible says receive abundance of grace, that means you can receive a little bit of grace, right? So we want to receive abundance of grace. All right, do y'all get that definition? All right, now let's just break down this definition and show you from the scriptures where I got it. First of all, look over in your Bible. Say he's reviewing. At Acts, here, let me pray. Father, open our hearts and minds to see the importance and see and give us revelation about what I'm going to share tonight about the importance of us receiving grace in abundance. Speak it to each of our hearts in the way we need to hear it, Lord. Speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, Paul here in the book of Acts talking about how his life has been threatened, and but he's ready to die. He says, all these things that have been happening, I've been beat this many times, I've been left for dead this many times. He gives a whole layout in Philippians, and here he's telling about some of the challenges he's had, but he said, it's no problem to me. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I came to do this, and this is what he says. But none of these things, none of this stuff moves me. I ain't bothered by that. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. What is the ministry that you received from the Lord Jesus, Paul? Here it is. To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. So here Paul says that the grace of God is the gospel. That in itself says it's more than just unearned favor. The gospel, the good news, is the grace of Christ. The heart of the gospel is the grace of God. All right? What does that mean? God's power, God's strength, God's ability for us to be who we are and to do what we're born to do. Not in our own strength, but in his strength. God's strength to do that. Are y'all with me? How do we receive it? By faith. Amen. All right? He says, so the gospel is really the grace of God. The whole gospel is about this grace of God. It's the heart of it. He says it also in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul fussing at the church of Galatians. Yeah. In the opening verses, he says, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. So again, here you can see that he calls the gospel the grace of Christ. The gospel, the good news that saves us, right, is this grace of Christ. It is the power of God, right? Okay, so here I wanted you to just see primarily, and refreshing your memory, that grace is much more than just earning favor. It's synonymous with the gospel. It is the good news. The heart of the gospel is this grace of God, this power of God that is available to us, right? This power, this strength of God that is available to us through faith. All right? Okay, y'all with me? All right, turn on over in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Very familiar passage of scripture that all of us are very familiar with. Y'all know this, right? For by grace you have been saved through faith. Stop here for a second. For by grace, for by God's strength, God's power, God's blood, God's righteousness, God, Jesus at the cross. You see it? Grace, you've been saved by that. How? Through faith. So again, and he says, and not that of yourselves. Yes, you didn't do it. It was all him, right? Not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Also, the grace and the faith, even the faith isn't yours. Even the faith is by the grace. It's one of the gifts of grace. All right? So for by grace, and we could say, if you read in the Amplified, it says unearned, unmerited favor, something like that. For by grace. And that is. You get why it's unearned, because you can't earn it. You didn't earn that grace to be saved. You didn't earn it. You get it? So you can't say that. It's unearned. He says, but you've been saved through faith and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, right? So grace can't be earned by works, but it can be increased and multiplied. All right? But it's not by works, but we're going to find out how, all right? Lest anyone should boast. So it's not by our works, but we can affect the grace in our life. Of course, it's received by faith. Are y'all with me? If we just say, do y'all get the imperative, how imperative is for us to understand that if we just say it's unearned favor, I can't affect that. Right. It's just unearned favor. I just receive it. Now I got it all. And there's nothing more I can do about that. But I can do something about it. And the Bible says you better do something about it if you want to reign in life. Right. All right? And so that's what we've got to learn. Are y'all with me tonight? Hit the person next to you and say, you're going to learn about grace tonight, for real. All right? So we've been saved by this grace. We couldn't do it by ourselves. It was his strength. It was his blood. It was his cross. It was all of him that caused us to be saved. Y'all saw that, right? Now let's look at another aspect of grace. how I derived this definition. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. By the way, tonight we're going to talk about finding grace. Grace can't be earned or worked for, but it must be found. And the Bible is very specific about that, over and over and over. And that's what I want to establish tonight. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. Are you there? Watch what Paul says about himself. For I am the least of the apostles. That's called humility right there. He sees himself as the least. And who am not worthy to be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God. Remember, he was the one who got the Israelites all fired up and they stoned Stephen. The Jews all fired up. He incited a riot. And they stoned Stephen. Remember, Stephen said, as he's being stoned and as he's being dying, he's forgiven. Lord, don't hold this sin against him. Remember? And Paul was the one who started the whole thing. And Paul had gotten letters to, and that was his job. That was his, he was a Pharisee. But Christianity was considered such a thing against Judaism that it's blasphemy against the laws of Moses. Right? And so Paul was like, we're going to go kill some of these Christians starting up with all this trouble. And that's what he said. I am an apostle, but I'm the least of the apostles, not worthy to even be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. You know, and again, he's not under condemnation. He's just saying, look, I am not doing this because of my education. Right. It didn't put me here. What put me here, Paul? Next, please. 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul says, I am an apostle, not by my education, which is great. Right. Not by my pedigree, which is great. He reviews all that in Philippians. He said, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. But he said, but all that stuff means nothing now. I am what I am by the grace of God. What that says is, before Paul got here, and Paul even says it, before he got in his mother's womb, God had called him to do that. Right. And what placed him there, what put him in that position, was the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm saved by his grace, and I am appointed an apostle by his grace. Your assignment, you're going to see as we go through the scriptures, every one of us have a call and an assignment. Right. Every one of us. Every one of us have been gifted. And Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am. Who you are is by the grace of God. Amen. All right? And many people who, and the Bible talks about that. Oh, let me read the rest of it. Look what he says. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. What does that mean? That means the grace that was there for my assignment and my call wasn't in vain. I found it. Utilize it, and I'm operating in it. The Bible talks about frustrating the grace of God. And you'll find out in life when you get real frustrated, typically it's because you're frustrating the grace of God. In other words, there's grace out there for you to do something that you're not getting it. Are y'all listening to me? She says, so we can see here that grace can be given in vain. That means it's not utilized. It's not taken. It's not found, right? But look at this next part. But I labored more abundantly than they all. What? I thought you don't work for any of this grace. But I worked more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me, was doing the work. So now he says to us, I am who I am by the grace of God, and I need grace to do what I'm born to do. Now watch, y'all. This is so real to me because this is a place in life that I'm at right now. I am, over 20 years ago, I didn't know what I was supposed to do with my life. Have you ever worked on jobs and you can't stand it and you just keep changing jobs and it's like, I'm tired of this. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to just keep changing jobs. It's just like so I knew there was something more in life and I had to go to God and say, what is it? What am I supposed to? And I got really desperate about that. I didn't know any of these passages like this. You know what I mean? I was born again, but I didn't know any of this. So I didn't know that there was a grace that I had to find to be who I'm supposed to be. I found that grace. Changed my whole life radically. But what Paul says in the next part is, I labored more abundantly than they all, but not I, but I had to get the grace to do what I'm born to do. You need grace to be and grace to do. If you get a grace to be, you're still going to need a daily grace, a strength, a power from God to perform it to the degree that God wants you to perform it. Where we are as a church, we should be, I believe in my heart, much further. But what it says is, I and we need to receive more grace. We have to receive it in abundance so we can do what God's called us to do. Right. Are y'all with me? And each of us, and that's why we're sticking on this, and this is why we're going to delve into this and understand it more and more. All right, so did y'all see that? In order to be saved, in order to be who you're born to be, you need grace to do that. What I mean by that is, oh, let me read another verse, because there's some other verses that explain gifts. Let's go in a little bit deeper. Look over at Ephesians. Now, that was about Paul, right? Paul explaining that about him, and we can embrace that as well and know that that's for us. I'm not called to be an apostle, but I'm born to be a pastor, all right? I had to find the grace for that. But watch this. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Amplified. Ephesians chapter 4 and the Amplified Bible. Y'all got that? Look up here. Yet grace, and there's where we get God's unmerited favor, because the Amplified always puts it in parentheticals, God's unmerited favor. Yet grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually. But let's use my definition. But God's power, strength, and ability to be who we are and to do what we're called to do was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately. Indiscriminate means we just throw it out there indiscriminately. Not indiscriminately means it wasn't given that way. It's given individually and selectively. So each one, watch what he's saying. Yet there's a grace, a power, a gifting from God was given to each of us. Say, I've got God's grace. Oh, now watch. Y'all get what he's saying? There's a grace for you and me. Right? He says that, and it was not given indiscriminately. Let me get rid of the not indiscriminately. Just say, it's given discriminately. You get it? Because that's a double negative. It's given uniquely to each person. You get a different grace than Patty. Y'all all get different graces, right? Nice. But in different ways, in proportion, watch this, to the measure of Christ's rich and bounteous gift. Christ, y'all know that the Bible says that Christ was full of grace, full of glory, full of the Spirit, without measure. He was everything. All of it was in him bodily. Do you know that Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, but we now are his body? And his Spirit, the Bible will go on and explain this, we're still his body, and his gifts now are in us. This grace that he had to do everything he did is still in his body, called us. Are y'all with me? We are the body of Christ. That's why it calls us that, all right? So each of us get there was a grace for me to be a pastor that I had to find. I found that grace. But there's still a continuous grace that I have to find to do that effectively. Paul said, I'm the least of all the apostles, but I'm doing more than all of them. But it wasn't me. It was his grace that I found that did it. So each of us have to get the grace to be who we are. We're saved, right? And to be who we are individually. And there's grace for that gift. If you're not born to be a pastor, there's no grace for you to do this. This is why it's vitally important that you not try to be someone else and do what someone else does. I was watching this guy on Instagram. I love him. Jonathan McReynolds. Love the guy. He's just an awesome voice. And he was one of the judges on that show, on Kirk's show, Sunday's Best. And he has this thing on Instagram where he does this Sunday's Best, and then he has called it Monday's Casual. It was after the show, and he would kind of talk about, and there's a couple of his buddies sitting there, and he had his mom sitting there one day, and he's just talking about, you know, they're watching the show, and then they're making jokes on him. He and his buddies are making jokes on his faces and the stuff he'd say, and it's kind of funny. But he said some things that really caught my attention, because he's 25 years old. He's a young guy, super, super talented, super, super gifted, and he was talking about some of the artists that were on there, and they were really good. Have y'all ever watched that show? And they're good, really gospely. And so he was talking about the young girl who was up there. Maybe you saw her. She kind of had like a mohawk kind of colored hair up there, and he made the comment, she ain't found her color yet. And they was like, what you mean? He said, before I found my color, I would always sing it. I knew the gospel color. Right. He said, but I hadn't discovered my color yet. Right. And I knew what he was saying. And what he was saying was, she's doing all these runs and doing all this stuff, but she hasn't found out who she is and what she's supposed to do yet. And he said, and that's good. You got to learn that first. If you're going to do gospel, you got to learn that. She said, but she's going to be the bomb when she finds her color. And that's what each of us have to do. You have to find your thing. You know, you get what I'm saying? It's great to have mentors, and it's great to have people that you look up to. But when you try to become them or try to mimic and copy them, you sell yourself short, because you never be the person that you're called to be. And there's a grace for you to be you. And there's nobody else who can do you but you. But in order to get this grace in abundance, so that God can, and we're going to see. Here, let me just read some more verses. Are y'all learning what I'm saying right here? All right, watch this. Turn over to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Paul says, for I say, through the grace given to me. See, this is the strength of God, the call, the gifting that was given to him. You get what he's saying? For I say, through the grace given to me, because that's what my grace is to teach you, is what Paul is saying. To everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. This is very interesting right here, because this is one of the keys to receiving more grace. Paul said in Philippians, he said something to the effect of, let me just be foolish in the flesh here for a second. If there's anybody who can boast, I'm more so. You remember he went through a whole chapter. He said, circumcised on the eighth day, born a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, taught by Gamaliel. He listed his credentials. He went through all of it, and he said, that means dung to me. He says, doesn't mean anything. And so he was saying, I'm not who I am by my pedigree or my credentials. That's not what makes me what I am. The grace of God made me what I am. And I got it. Although I'm qualified to be the least of everybody, I've done more than all of them put together, because I was able to tap into this grace. Come on, y'all. We need this grace. We need our grace, the grace for us. Each and every one of us do. It's what's going to cause us to overcome the challenge, overcome the petty attitudes, the addictions, the struggle. Come on, life has some struggle. All of us get it. All of us have some shortcomings and weaknesses. But if we're ever going to grow in life and go to where God wants us to get, we're going to have to see that we need his strength and not our strength. How many of y'all know that Moses found his call, his assignment, his grace, before he found his grace that he was and his calling? He knew he was a deliverer, but he did it in his own strength. He did it on his own strength. And what did he do? He killed one of the Egyptians, buried him under the sand, and then ended up having to be a man on the run, in exile for 40 years. In his strength, nothing accomplished. In God's strength, Red Sea parted. Delivering millions of people. And the Bible says, it tells us the key, he was the most humble man, the Bible says, on the face of the earth. The Bible says God resists the proud but gives more grace to the humble. Pride turns grace away. It makes, devil don't have to do nothing to you. God says, I can't do nothing with you with that pride. A gift and an assignment without grace ends up like Whitney, Michael, Prince. You can go through a whole litany of people with great talent, great ability, but no grace. Receive the grace to do what they do. You know what I'm saying? A gift without grace can bring death. And so that's why God says, no, I got to humble you. You got to be able to come to me, and we're going to see it. You got to find this grace. Come on, are y'all listening to me? Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You get a measure of faith for the grace that you have. You need faith. For you're saved by grace through faith. The grace that you get is by faith. Watch what he says here. So, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Watch this. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Already, he's explaining how our gifts and how we work together. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We're all parts of one body. All right? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. What is he saying? You get a gift, but there's grace for that gift. You got a gift, but there's grace. Okay, if I'm a pastor, there's grace for me to be the pastor that I'm called to be. Pastor Bob can't get my grace, and I can't get his, and I can't give him my grace. There is a grace that's individually for me. And that's having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Right. So there's, my gifts are in line with grace that's available for me. Right. I can't just because I want to do something that's outside of my gift and the grace that's for me. Not effectively. Not a well. And that's where many people live. And the Bible calls it frustrating grace. And there's a grace available. Paul said, I didn't receive mine in vain. Are y'all with me? He utilized it, executed it. Come on, somebody. Are y'all learning already? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us do what? Use them, those gifts. All right? If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, right? Or ministry, that means service. Now, these, he's talking about ministry gifts here in the house of God, and we should all be utilized in the church. Every believer in the church should be doing something, serving somewhere. Your life, when you understand grace, and we're going to understand it, it is about taking a gift that God's given you, using it at work. Now watch, some people are gifted athletes. You don't use that at church. There ain't no gift of the football player at the church. That gift is given. Can y'all see that? That Shaquille O'Neal was given a gift. Right? There's gifts given by God. And the Bible says every gift and calling of God is irrevocable. So they all come from God. Every good gift comes from the Father of lights, wherein there's no invariableness, no shadow of turning. So all these gifts come from God. You came here with gifts. And they're not all just for church. Do y'all get that? If you're gifted as, now, of course, you can utilize it at church. You should utilize it in some degree at church. All of us should be doing something, serving. Because this is how your gift, you serve it in the kingdom of God, and God will elevate that as you're humble with that gift. All right? Okay, because watch, the word ministry just means serve. Let us use it in our serving. That could be at the restaurant. It could be a church too, should be, but at the restaurant too, or in business. You're serving your gift, right? He who teaches, that could be a teacher at school, teacher in church, right? Teaching. He who exhorts, someone with a gift of motivation and exhortation. Y'all know people like that? That are gifted to motivate. I've got that gift. I can exhort. You get what I'm saying? And lift you up, all right? He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives. There's some people who are gifted givers, giving with liberality. He who leads, and that's not only just for church, leading corporations, leading business. How does he say do it? Do it with diligence. Mm-hmm. He who shows mercy, show it with cheerfulness. Mercy, y'all get what I'm saying? Yeah. Mercy is you don't get what you deserve. Giving mercy, okay, I'm not going to punish you, but he said do it with cheerfulness. Yeah. Those two typically don't go together. No. You get what I'm saying? But by the grace of God, he says give mercy cheerfully. All right? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. So do you see what he's saying here? These gifts, all of us have been gifted. We saw that. We've read it a couple times now. Every single one of us have a gift. If you haven't discovered what you're gifted at, you need to be paying close attention because you want to get the grace for that gift. Let me testify here a little bit. When years ago, and I didn't know any of these passages, but I just knew that the jobs that I had didn't make me happy. It didn't give me fulfillment. Right. This wasn't what it wasn't fulfilling my life. Are you with me? And so I knew there was something more. And really the only verse I knew was Jeremiah 29:11 in that regard. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, so on and so forth. You got it? Plans to give you hope in the future. Then you will call upon me, verse 14. I knew those verses. But I didn't know what I was supposed to do. But I knew I wasn't doing it. Why? I was frustrated. Why? Because I was frustrating grace that was available for me as a born-again believer, but I hadn't accessed it. I hadn't, what the Bible says, found it. So I went on a search. And what I mean by that was, I didn't know any other way, but just like, Lord, what is it? And I started praying and asking God every day. That's where my prayer every day started. Real serious prayer. It was just a time I would get up in the morning. This is in Columbus, Ohio. Get up and start walking in my neighborhood. In Columbus, Ohio, it's cold in the winter. You get it, and there'd be snow on the ground. I'd just walk in my neighborhood and just cry out to the Lord, Lord, help me. And I mean literally crying because I was so frustrated. It would be like it's like a fish out of water or a bird that's in a little, like an eagle in a little cage. Right. It's like, God, I know there's much more to do and much more for my life, but I hate being here. Yeah. And when I change jobs, I like it the first week, but then it's like, dang, I hate this too. Yeah. It's like, Lord, what is it? It's not them. It's me. I'm in the wrong place, but I don't know what the right place is. I don't know what the right job is. I don't know. Lord, you know, though. You know. You created me. You know why I'm here. I don't know what to do, and it's so frustrating. Do y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yes,
and I'm so blown away now. I'm so blown away that I love my job. I didn't think that was possible. You get what I'm saying? I didn't know. My education was in accounting. I got an accounting degree. Come on. Are you serious? I hated that even going to school. But I just knew I needed it. Come on, you know, you grow up in a household and they're just, you got to get a good job. You got to, what does that mean? You got to go to college. I was on the late college plan. I dropped out when I was 18 or 19, went back to college when I was 28. 10 years later. Took me 10 years to figure out, I got to figure out what I'm supposed to do. At age 28, really, that's where I started a real search for, okay, in order to even take care of a family, Brooke was born when I was 28 years old. That changed my life. It's like, I got a family. I got kids that are going to depend on me. I got to figure out what I'm supposed to do with my life. I'm getting old. Have y'all ever thought that? Like, and I was 28. God, I'm twice that age now. Shoot, I'm more than twice that age now. I'm 58. 30 years has gone by. You get it? But that's when that search really started. And I did, I didn't start this church till I was 38 years old. Took me, now watch. I got into the ministry. It was a journey. It was a journey. But let me tell you, the greatest thing I ever decided to do, and now I know what it's called, was find the grace that was for me to be who I was born to be. Amen. The greatest thing in my life. And once you go on a search and find it, the Bible says if you seek the Lord, you will be, he will be found by you. You seek it. He's got it. You just got to seek it. Amen. Are y'all with me? And for me, what that looked like was getting up every day and making a commitment. Lord, I'm going to spend the first hour of my day just talking to you about it. What this is real relationship. Real relationship is talking to him about everything. If you need grace for anything, you've got to go. Ooh, I'm jumping ahead of myself. All right. It meant for me seeking God like I'd never sought him before. And now as I look back in retrospect, it's amazing to me what just that did. I really didn't know. It kind of just started walking into it, and it started just kind of making sense to me. What I mean is, all God wants you to do is come to him for the grace. I'll get you there. Most believers never make this commitment in life. They come to church. And I think that's the, you know what I mean? Because they never see the need. They think that life is just frustrating. It's just supposed to be frustrating. It's not. We're supposed to reign in life. Our life is supposed to be so set apart from the world that they see our life and go, I want that. Not because we're deep in all that and carry around a big Bible and speaking tongues all the time at the grocery store. I'm talking about because your life, Moses says it. Let me get to my notes. Good God, y'all. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Go to my next passage. What's my next one? Where is it? Yeah, 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Look at this. Each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. You've got a gift that is supposed to be served to people. The body of Christ and the world. Not just in these four walls. Are you with me? But if we don't understand that that's why we're here, we've been gifted, get a hold of that grace and that gift. Your gift is what you are naturally good at that God has gifted you. And when I say naturally, he's given you natural gifts that give you an advantage over others. I could try real hard to do that and you're still better than me naturally. Right. Have y'all seen that with some athletes? You can see this in arts and stuff too. Have y'all seen people who can just draw and paint and they're just natural? I was always horrible with a pen. You can still tell my signature right now. That dude, hold on, slow down, focus. L-E-E Stokes. I would have to slow down. I was horrible at it. I hated art class. I'm not going to try to be an artist. Not with paint and pencils and stuff. You get what I'm saying? Someone who's gifted at that is naturally better than I would if I gave it 10 or 12 hours a day. And that's what he's saying. Each of us have received a gift. Minister, serve it to one another as good stewards of the what? Manifold. The many various types of grace of God. So there's gifts. There's many gifts. And he calls them grace. Y'all see that? And he says, the many, back up to that one, because I want y'all to see this word, manifold. Manifold means multitude, various, different kinds, all different. There's all different kinds of gifts, artistic gifts, intellectual gifts. There's all these types of giftings, and they all came from God. There's manifold, multivarious, multitude of different kind of grace of God. It's a gift. It's a power, an ability of God that he's given you. But he says, make sure you're a good steward of that. Amen. That's it. How many of you could admit there's some great artists that weren't good stewards of their gift? Have y'all watched any of those shows that just show these artists, I mean, rock stars and stuff, that end up on drugs? It's like, how does everybody end up on drugs? How do they end up on drugs? How do they end up on, come on, you know, they start out in church, they start out singing in the choir, and then they get out there, and then they're doing cocaine and crack, and it's like, what happened? It's a bad world out there, and if they don't stay connected to this grace, that gift and the world will destroy you. Are y'all with me? All right, so we have to be good stewards of this grace that we've got. We've got a gift. He says, make sure to minister it to another. So how do I become a good steward of it? I get more grace for that gift, right? And I serve it. Tell the person next to you, you need to be serving. Even at work. Even at work. If you're a boss, serve those that you're that are working for you and your company. Serve. This is what happens with people. We, you know, we're grateful when we get the job. We're going, oh, thank you, job. But then after a while, we hate it, and we hate everybody. Have y'all been there before? We forgot that we prayed for that. And then we complain about it. What'll fix that is losing that job. Get fired, and then you remember, like, you know what? That job wasn't so bad. Hey, same thing in relationship and marriage. Some of you have taken advantage of somebody their whole life, didn't appreciate them till they're gone. Like, dang, you know what? They wasn't so bad after all. I should have worked this out. This single thing ain't working out too good. Come on, somebody. All right, be a good stewards of the grace. Watch what he says. If anyone speaks, not just a pastor, not just a speaker in the church, but let him speak as the oracles of God. Now watch what he's saying right here. How many of y'all speak for a living, teach for a living, or do something like that? All right, so he's saying, let him speak. He's saying, don't just say anything. Get with God about it. Get grace for that. Even if you're a teacher with students. Come on, don't you wish your kids' teachers would spend some time with God before they had to spend time with your kids? And don't you hope they're called to do that? Yes. Don't you hope they have a gift to do that? Yes. Have you ever seen anybody at a restaurant who you know that's not their call? Yes. Have you ever gone through the drive-thru and said, you know, and I tell them sometimes, I've told them in the past, said, baby, you might want to try another vocation. This ain't for you. And I sometimes joke with them, don't I say, you love this job, don't you? They go, I hate this job. I said, I knew you was going to say that. Don't get stuck here, boo. Stay in school. All right? If anyone speaks, let him speak at the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, so now what is he talking about? He's talking about the doing that you do. You got grace for who you are, but now if you're going to do it, be a good steward over that grace and do it like God's doing it. Come on, somebody. If you're going to usher, if you're going to help in the parking lot, if you're going to help with children, be a good steward of that. Yes. Come on, somebody. If anyone ministers, let him serves, do it with the ability which God supplies. Have y'all ever done, do you know you need grace to be a husband, grace to be a wife, grace to be a parent? How many of y'all know you need grace to be a parent? Have y'all seen people who didn't get the grace to be the parent and, come on, somebody. Yeah. Yeah, so the kids end up in social services and all that kind of stuff. And so what he's saying here is everything you do, get the grace of God to do it. That's what he's saying. Let's say, if anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. Do it with the ability that God supplies. What burnout is doing things in your own strength. And not doing it in God's strength. Come on, somebody. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So even at work, even as an athlete, even whatever, even in your schoolwork, he's saying, do that through the ability that God gives. What is he saying here? We need to have this real relationship with God in everything that we do. in our work, in the work that he's put in our hand, and the people that we're around. We're not just there. We're there because God has put you there. And he's saying, be a good steward over that. Don't complain and run down the boss like everybody else. Don't fuss and cuss and steal the stuff. Let's see. To whom belong the glory and the dominion forever? So he's saying, God needs to get glory out of what you do. And he will if you get the grace from him to do it. Amen. Go to the next verse for me. What's the next one? Y'all got that? All right. Jump on over to Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Ooh, we're good. Here's that verse I was just quoting to you before. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Look at this verse closely. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Gifts, calling. Gifts, so I can have a lot of gifts, but I get a calling. Are y'all listening to me? And he says they're irrevocable. I can't blow it and God say, forget that. I made a mistake. You wouldn't qualify. Now, you can blow it. You can mess up some things. And God says, I'm still not going to take my gifts, and I'm still not going to revoke my call from you. It's still on you. Now, you can put yourself in the grave if you don't get the grace that you need, but I'm still for you. I still love you. Come on, somebody. Y'all with me? Isn't that good? For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. He's never going to give up on you. Don't give up on him. Find out what those gifts are and that call of God on your life. You know, some of you are called to be ushers. Some of you are called to work with children. You know, if you, and some people really are called, love children. Right. You get what I'm saying? You love children. And you work in schools and that kind of thing. You should be serving that gift here for these kids. Are y'all with me? Come on, somebody. Oh, it's quite in this Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Catholic church. I couldn't think of me a Lutheran. All right, here's an acronym for grace. All right, an acronym for grace. I mean, an acronym, great, yeah. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Grace, G-R-A-C-E. Here's what grace is. Who is calling my phone? Yeah, just hang up. Hey, have y'all gotten any of these crazy calls? Like, at home, our phone rings, and it says who's calling. The ID caller has a voice on it, and it said, Stokes Lee calling. And I was like, and it, you know, it's a computer, so it's just Stokes Lee calling. I was like, Stokes Lee? that sounds awful familiar. Then I walked over to the phone and looked at it, and it was my home phone number calling its own home phone. I was like, y'all, do y'all realize the world we're in? I said, that's some kind of trickery and foolery right there. Then they said her cell phone kept ringing with her own number calling it. I said, that's these robocalls kind of stuff. Okay. Where was I? Grace, God's riches. Now, this is what grace is. It's God's power. It's God's strength. It's God's anointing. It's God's healing. There is a grace for healing. There is a grace for your career. There's a grace for your gift. It's God's riches at Christ's expense for you. Not at your expense, at Christ's expense. Because of what he did at the cross, God's riches have been made available to you by grace through faith. Y'all get that? Write that down somewhere. Now, what I want to show you today, and this is all we're going to do before we go home today, because this is as far as I got in the first service, is just this. I was amazed to see this. When you just put in your concordance the word grace. Because I thought, Lord, I need more grace. Let me start in the Bible by looking up every verse in the Bible that says grace. Let me just start from Genesis. And I did. And when I went from Genesis all the way to Psalms, every time the word grace, every single time without fail, the word before it was found grace. Every time without fail, find grace. Find grace. Let me show you. Grace must be found. All right? Look over in, when it's talking about someone getting grace. Look at first one, first mention of the word grace is Genesis 6 and 8. And what does it say? But Noah found grace where? In the eyes of the Lord. That is consistent every single time. If a person is finding grace of God or finding grace, like Joseph, you'll see it, Joseph found grace, Lot found grace, every single time without fail. Here, why am I even telling you? Let's go to the next one, 19:19. Next time you'll see the word grace is right here. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace. Grace must be found. What does that mean? I got to look for it. I got to go after it. And why many people never get abundance of grace, because they're not going after it, seeking it. Watch. Go to the next one. That was Lot, by the way. Look at this one. This is Genesis 32 and 5. Jacob and Esau. Jacob. Remember Jacob? He had stole his brother's birthright, and so they grew up, and he stole his inheritance and all this stuff, and so they're going to run into each other. And so what is he? He's like, I got to get some grace with my brother, right? Look what he says. I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my Lord, why? That I may find grace. Where? In thy sight. I think this is important as a shadow, because you're going to see it in the New Testament too, that grace has to be found at the throne of God, in God's face. That's where grace is found. Watch, and I'm jumping ahead of myself. Go to the next one, Genesis 33 and 8. And he said, what meanest thou? This is Esau. What meanest thou by all this drove which I met? Esau's like, why am I seeing all these animals and all these servants, all this stuff? And he said, these are to what? Find grace. And the Bible is careful every single time to make sure that, because it gets to get grace from you. You could have said that, but it doesn't. To find grace in your sight. Every time. Go to the next one. This is important. And Jacob said, nay, because East, watch. Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if I've what? Found grace in thy sight, again, then receive my present at my hand, and therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God. I want you to just see this, because, and we'll take further time in this to really examine some of these, especially Moses. I may even take time today. Let me see, 17, I might not have time. But let's go on. Let me get through these so you can see it. And Esau said to Jacob, let me now leave leave thee some of the folk that are with me. And he said, what needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. Every time. 34, verse 11 is the next place you'll find grace written in the Bible. And Shechem said unto her father, remember Shechem and Dinah? Shechem had raped Dinah. Remember? One of Israel's sons, one of their daughters raped her. But then he said, I love her. I want to marry her. Shechem went to her father and to her brethren. Remember, because he said, we'll give you our daughter, but you guys have to get circumcised. Remember that whole deal? And then they went and killed him. He says, Shechem, who had raped Dinah, said to her father and to her brethren, let me do what? Every time. Grace must be found. Go to the next one for me. Whatever next verse. 39. And Joseph found grace in his sight. Pharaoh, remember? And the interesting thing about this, if you read the first few verses of chapter 39, it says that he was a, look over there, Genesis 39. Because this tells us a lot, too, about finding grace. And that's what we want to see. Yeah, verse. Go to verse 1, and then let me. Oh, they can't. Don't worry about it. I'll do it. Genesis 39. I'm going to read all the way to 4. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had been brought down thither. So he's a slave. And the Lord was what? With Joseph. You're going to see this consistently too. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master. So if you're reading the Amplified, it says, and he was a slave, although he was very prosperous. He didn't have a dime. He was a slave, But the Bible says he was prosperous because the Lord was with him and he found favor. Favor precedes prosperity. Grace precedes it. Favor and grace are the same word in the Old Testament. You'll see it. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that, the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace. Are y'all with me? Joseph, watch why he found this grace. Even in a bad situation, he didn't have a bad attitude. He had a good attitude and served and found grace. Humility brings much more grace. Pride resists grace. We get stuck. And he served, look at that. And he served him. Come on, y'all see it? And made him overseer over his house. Promotion came from the grace. But he served. Tell the person next to you, say, you got to serve. Mm-hmm. Go to the next one for me back there, B. Genesis 47, verse 25. And they said, thou hast saved our lives. Let us what? Find grace. I wrote this one down because I looked up all these. This was, the Egyptians. Remember when Joseph had gotten promoted to second in charge? And there was a famine that came. The famine came and now he's in charge of giving seed and everything to all the Egyptians. Well, they looked at Joseph like, you've saved our lives. He said, well, you're going to have to pay me a fifth of everything that y'all have. Remember, 20% of everything that you have comes to me, comes to Pharaoh. And they said, well, yeah, we do that. Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace. He had such favor. He was now promoted in charge. The whole land was dependent on him, and they saw it. Just let us find grace in your sight. Amen. Grace turned his enemies into his best friends now, his servants. Come on, somebody. All right, go on to the next one. What is it? 47:29. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. So Israel's about to die, Israel, a.k.a. Jacob. And he called his son Joseph and said to him, if now I have found grace in your sight. Joseph is a picture of Jesus, by the way, in types and shadows. Y'all know that, right? Go to the next one. We're still in just Genesis. This is every time you'll see grace. And when the days of his mourning for his father, remember, Israel had died, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found grace in your eyes. Speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, blah, 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 blah. Go on to the next book. Go on to Exodus. Exodus 33. Now this, I'll have to do it next week. This is the whole, I think we will glean a lot here about grace and how to find it because of what Moses did. This is the story of Moses, and this whole thing is amazing. All right. I'm not going to be able to study it here, but let's just read it. Go back to verse 11 in Exodus 33. Turn in your Bible because they may not be able to do it back there with me. Exodus 33, go back to verse 11 if y'all have your Bible open. And if y'all can't, all right, and I'm going to read it from my Bible just because they might not be able to keep up with me, all right? Here I am in verse 11. I'm reading from the New King James. It says, so the Lord spoke to Moses, how? Face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Get this, because what God's going to say to him, here's how he got grace. He would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people. You tell me that I got to do this. This is my call. This is my assignment, to bring these people out of Egypt to the promised land. You tell me to do this, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You didn't send me any help. Look what his answer is, because Moses is looking for his brother. He's looking for some helpers. He's like, I need some help to do that. Why? Because he doesn't know. He can't do this in his own strength. He hadn't figured it out yet. Yet you have said, here's what you said to me, God. I know you by name, and you also have found grace in my sight. You don't need anybody. Get this grace that I've given you. I need somebody. You don't. You got grace. You found grace in my sight. But I think I need some people. get this grace. I know you by name. What is he saying? He's saying, me and you got real relationship. I've got grace for you. I know you by name. We are in my face, man. I got you. You get this? Watch this. What is grace, finding grace require? A real commitment in time, relationship spent with God. I'm telling you, I happenstance into this. But I didn't know this. You get it? I'm just figuring this out from reading. Look at this. Look at this next one. Verse 13. Oh, yeah. Look at 13. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way. If I got grace, show me how to do this. God, is that good, y'all? God, that's my heart. That I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. Look what he's saying. God, all these people, I don't know how to lead them. These are your people. I need some help. He said, you got my grace. Well, if I got your grace, show me how to do it. And verse 14, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. He said, you ain't going to have to worry about it. You got my grace. I'll direct you. Don't worry. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up out of here. If you ain't going with us, I ain't going. Hear what he's saying. And this is wisdom right here. Success without grace of God is not real success. It will kill you. I'm not doing this without you. If you ain't going, I ain't going. That's what Moses was saying right here. Y'all with me? Look at this. Watch it. Verse, where am I in? 15. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace? How will it be known that we've found grace if you're not with us? Look at this. How will they know? How will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Your grace and you being with us will separate us from everybody. So the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. You'll see this, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Look at this. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to you, to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you can't see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here's a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in a cliff of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by, and then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not be seen. Moses was under the law. We under grace, the Bible says we see him face to face. There's more grace for us. Y'all see it? And it goes on into the next chapter. It goes on. I mean, Moses is like, hold up. Well, let me read some of it. Chapter 34, it says, verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, cut 2 tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on top of the mountain, and no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout the mountain, all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain. So he cut 2 tablets of stone like the first ones, and Moses rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, and the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the 2 tablets of stone, and the Lord descended it in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands of generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty. This is that mix of law and grace. He gave him all that grace right there, but he also came down with the law. Okay, long story. I won't go into that. Verse 9. Then he said, verse 8. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth in worship. Then he said, if now I found grace in your sight, O Lord, Let my Lord, I pray you, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. He said, listen, we're knuckleheads. We're blockheads. I know it. I can't do it without you. But do this, if I found favor, stick with me anyway. Have y'all figured out in life yet that you are a mess without him? Who knows it? All the rest of y'all, I'm just telling you. No, y'all are raising your hand. The Bible says that Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I won't read all the rest of them. There's Ruth found grace. Esther found grace. Everybody found grace in his sight. How we get grace is in his face, in his sight. Close your Bible. Come on, somebody. Are y'all on? Come on, are we on the trail? We on it? We on it? Get your seed, get your tithe, get your offering, and don't miss. Come back. Don't miss. Isn't Wednesday good, y'all? Don't miss, because the Bible says where you find grace. And it's all throughout the Bible, too. And there's clues of it here, but we can find it in the New Testament. Y'all ready? Ooh, not today. Next week, y'all, I'm ready to go home. And don't miss Sunday. I know it's a holiday weekend. How many of y'all going to be in town this weekend? Y'all in town? How many of y'all are out of town this weekend? All right. Be sure and watch online, or, you know, even after the service if you're in bed or whatever you're doing with your family, and safe travels to you. If you're out, though, be sure and catch it, because you don't want to miss this for marriage. Forgiveness and repentance. You got to be quick to repent and quick to forgive in marriage. All right? And you're going to learn it with your kids, with everybody. It's a good thing that'll help you stick together and grow in grace. Amen? How many tithers and givers do we have in here? We need your seed. Get your seed. Y'all know that in the summer people don't give. They take their tithe and offering and go on vacation. Come on, somebody. Get your seed. Get your tithe. And if you forgot on vacation time, go ahead and sow that too. Come on, somebody. I'm not scared of y'all. What y'all think I'm scared of y'all? I'm not scared of y'all. Come on. I'm speaking the oracles of God. Come on. We need your help. We do need your help. We need your help. Amen? Amen. There's a grace for giving, and I'm going to teach that too. We're going to get to all that. Amen? There's a grace for giving that opens up every other grace. Ooh, God, that's a good one. Y'all got your seed? Y'all got your tithe? You got your offering? Let's make this faith confession real. In fact, stand up on your feet, y'all. It's 8:30. Let's go. Thank y'all for being patient. Aren't you glad you came? Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. Come back next week and be here Sunday if you're in town, and I'll be here teaching too. Amen. Let's make this faith confession real loud and strong all together. Ready? Say it. I profess that I have entered the rest in my Lord and Savior. Because you, Jesus, are my, I bring the and worship you with it. You have provided for me. All of my needs are met in superabundance. A reign in life. The righteous. Yeah. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that the windows of heaven are open right now, pouring me out a blessing so great and large that I don't have room enough to receive it. Satan cannot touch my body, my family. Blessed because of the, come on, y'all. I am wise and the, come on, how many of y'all really believe that? Y'all believe that? What's going on, Dr. Don? Anybody here for the first time? Good to see you, man. Anybody here for the first time? Y'all ain't never been here before, and here you're here tonight. Will y'all bring somebody with you? How many of y'all believe you go to a great church? Amen. I encourage you, while you're at work, while you're at school, wherever you go, invite people with you. Yeah. Invite people with you. They need to hear this good news about marriage and family and that kind of stuff. We're going to be talking about raising kids, all that kind of stuff. Real practical stuff that's in the Bible that everybody needs to know so they can enjoy life. How many of y'all know we need to receive more grace too? Amen. Well, thank you all so much for coming out and being with us tonight. I love you. If you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. And to be born again is so simple. It's simple as saying a prayer and believing in your heart. This is it. Say this prayer with me, after me. And if you're not born again, this is how you get born again. Right here. Say this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead just for me. You're my Lord, my Savior, my healer, my provider. You're my everything. Right now, I'm saved. You believe that in your heart, believe that Jesus is Lord. You're right now born again and forever forgiven and forever saved. Come back. Come back. Keep coming back. Keep getting this word. Keep getting grounded and rooted in grace and righteousness and reign in life. I declare.